Strung Under Pressure is the title, whatever. But we're just going to continue on. But you know what? The fivefold ministry, a lot thinks that it's not here today for the church, but it is. The Bible says in Ephesians that he gave the fivefold ministry, the teachers, the prophets, evangelists, all that, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith, unto that one mature man, that one grew up man, you know, and all of that. So they're still, you know, and I know back in my life, you know, as a young man in the Lord, didn't know I was a minister or anything. People came through that were, evangelists and different things, and they would impart and they would stir up things that I didn't know was in me, you know. And God showed me later on. He said, I would send what you needed. I would bring it in. And how many knows when we're serving and trusting God, that's what He does. I mean, He begins to, you know, and so. There's this church, they've been through two pastors and everything, and we actually reach out to them and give them food every month, and they can't keep a shepherd, you know. They can't keep a pastor, you know. And they're wonderful people, I'm sure, you know. It's just, but anyways, whatever the case, I wanted to go over there. I thought, Lord, I'll go over there, and I don't know how I could pastor two churches, you know. And all I just had that, you know, because I care for them. You know, don't even really know most of them. It's our brothers and sisters, you know. But anyhow, I had this desire, you know. I thought, I don't know how I'd do it. I can't, you know, and all of that. Well, I had the desire to go preach over there, and I thought, just can't do it. You know, there's no way. So I got a message. I got a message actually during the week, Wednesday night sermon, you know, was Strong Under Pressure, and I ministered the way I ministers and everything. Well, I got messages from this one person, member in the church. She said, "Whoa, I'm going to have to clock out of work. This is so good, blah, blah, blah." Well, I got a message this morning. Said, "Can I ask a strange question?" I thought, great, you know. So anyways, I said, "Sure, go ahead." And the person said, "Would it be weird if I asked you if I could put your Wednesday night sermon as our sermon this morning? And show it on the screen, you know." I said, "No, absolutely not. It would not be weird." I said, I'm coming to your church to preach this morning. I don't even have to go over there. They gonna take the, because we got the media ministry and all of that going, you know, you can replay it, go back, listen to this or whatever the case may be. But we're over there this morning. You're over there this morning. Yeah, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. We're able to, that enlarge us. That's what He's doing. He's enlarging our ability to help and minister to His people, to our brothers and sisters, praise God. And you know what? And I brought all that up, you know, not to brag on you, because you're sending, I mean, this word you send all over the world. People can look at things like the food ministry, clothing as something small, but there's nothing small to God. Nothing that you do, not anything that, I mean, everything is just as important as the pulpit ministry, because it is the will of God. And when you're doing the will of God, you have the grace of God. And I was thinking about the reason why I brought all that up. What if I'd have quit back yonder when I was under such great pressure to be a pastor, never pastored before, and having to learn how to operate under that pastor's anointing? Instead of the evangelist anointing. The evangelist anointing is different. The teacher anointing is different than the pastor's anointing, you know. And I had to transition in there, you know, and had to learn, you know, that how to deal with my emotions and feelings when the pressure was on. But God was teaching me at that time, didn't really know it, how to be strong under pressure. Strong under pressure. God wants you strong under pressure. He don't want you oppressed. He don't want you defeated. He don't want you weak. He don't want you not supplied. The scripture has a lot of promises in it. Paul said it like this way. He says, "But my God shall supply how many of your needs?" That's simple, ain't it? God said it through Paul. God means it through Paul. We got to believe it and receive it and say that word is for us. I've had people to say, well, that was way back. No, we are generations down the road. We are the children of spiritual children of Israel. We are the generation that serves God. We have the same God. We have the same Word. We have the same anointing. We have the same Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans, it said, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:16, lives in you, and if you're born again, He does. Scripture bears it out. Christ in you. What do you think it's talking about? Christ in you, the anointed one in you. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. God is on the throne. Jesus told the disciples, He said, go up in the upper room. They knew where He was talking about. I don't. He told them a certain place. Go in Jerusalem to the upper room. He said, and wait there. He said, wait there until the promise comes. What was He talking about? The Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me and you. That is how come after the church did not start until the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not have Philippians, Ephesians, and Galatians, and Corinthians. These were letters written by Paul from God to the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Corinthians, the church in Rome, all of that. And so, but anyways, they had, here comes the Holy Spirit. Now, He ain't changed. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not some weird. It's a He. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a person of the Godhead. He's part of the Godhead. He's God. He's not God, but He don't do nothing unless God tells Him. He does. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me that God reveals, and He brings and He adds to, imparts, gives wisdom, gives revelation, and brings things into existence of the kingdom of God when we are people of faith. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. It says in Hebrews 11, now I'm talking about being strong under pressure. You can't hardly break me under pressure. I'm not bragging on me. Y'all might think I am. I've been 30 years walking with God. I have failed more times than I have had success. I have come short. But I read in the Bible where it says a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he will get up. And so every time I would fall and come short and mess up and jack things up and all of that stuff, I would get up and I would repent and blah, blah, blah. And the more that you exercise doing that with God, the stronger you get spiritually and your faith begins to multiply, increase. And then you come to a place to where you know you have the victory. And once you know you have the victory, you ain't trying to get victory. You're not wishing God would give you victory. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is standing in a place of victory. It's victory in Jesus, my Savior. We could get the old hymn books and just preach this gospel out of it. We can do it in that. Your goodness is running after. It's running after. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, open my eyes, God, that I can see You. That I can see You in my pressure. I can see You in my trial. I can see You in my distress. I can see You in my loneliness. These are not just songs we sang just so we can fill a 15-minute gap. These are songs of worship once we get in there in faith following God. His goodness is running after me. I don't know about you. God loves me just like He loved Jesus. He loves you just like He loved Jesus. You got to believe that He loves you just as much as He did Jesus. I mean, just think about it. He loved you so much that He put His only Son on the cross and had him killed. Jesus didn't even want to do it. We don't want to. Sometimes we don't feel like going to church. Jesus told him, He said, y'all come in. He said, I've got a supper prepared. They begin to make excuses. I bought some land. I got married. You know, I got all this. You know, I mean, I work 14 hours. I don't care what their excuse was. He said, just let them alone. He said, go out in the byways. Highway to byway. He said, leave them alone. He said, they ain't got time for me. That's what they're going to get from me. Just let them go on and all of that, you know. And so we know these scriptures, so I'm like, glory to God. I'm not going to be put on the back burner from God's. I'm going after Him. I'm going to fight for my right to serve Him. I'm going to fight for my right. And it's clear. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to fight to be well. I'm going to fight for my right to be strong and joyous. See, most people that are depressed, Christians, I'm talking about Christians, the world is without God and without hope in this world, without Him. That's why we still preach it. That's why we still bid them to come to Jesus. That's why. Because we got God and we got hope. We got God hope. We got a God faith in us, knowing, I mean, come Lord Jesus. Old guy told me the other day, he said, I wouldn't care if Jesus come right now. And I'm like, well, I'm not quite as old as you, so that's fine, you know. If He comes, I'm okay with it, but I'm not ready, but you are. You know, and everything. I mean, here He is, he's up here in age, and He's saying, glory to God, I wouldn't care. I wish You'd come on, right? I'm ready to go home. I'm ready. Well, you know what? There's no fear of death in that man. That man knows where he's going. That man knows there's a heaven. He knows to be absent with this body, he's going to be present with the Lord. He knows that to be there would be a lot better than being here. So therefore, he's like, come, Lord Jesus, come. What's wrong? What is it? Strong under pressure. I've had people, pray for me that I won't be scared to go in that coffin. I'm like, you're not going to know you're in that coffin. Don't torture yourself out here. They're like, well, what if I'm not dead and I'm buried? Fear, see? I mean, you can't, you know, and I tell them, nah, man, don't look at that. Praise God. Hallelujah. This pressure that's coming to you is tormenting you. It's tormenting you. There was a guy, I mean, here at church, here, not a guy here at church, but anyhow, our first light bill here was $54.17. And me and Teresa had scripture on it, Isaiah 54:17. It says, no weapons are formed against you prosper. We laid hold of that and thought, glory to God, that's going to be the scripture long haul for this church. Praise God. In all of these years, there ain't nothing prospered that we stood in faith. Well, We moved on back. Oh, we're all excited, you know. You get all excited. You see God giving you vision for your life, vision to plant a garden, vision to have a house, vision to have a life, you know, and all of that stuff. And then here comes a big bill. We move on back here, and then it was an $800-something light bill. Went from $54.17, not just 1 month, but over progression of time. And it was $800, and I saw that, and I thought, glory to God. Whoo, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we got lights. Whoo, yeah, baby, praise God. Brought it to church, telling the church, and one of the ones been here a while, oh, my God, call Alabama Power. You know, tell them to come check that meter. I mean, they something wrong with that meter, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, no, glory to God. I said, pray. We got to praise God here. I said, no, hallelujah. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with our meters, praise God. I said, this is our opportunity to see God pay our bills. That's the way you got to look at it in your life. Or do you belong to the Lord or not? Was you bought with a price or not? Was you paid for by Jesus' blood or not? We was. The Bible says it. We're His. He takes on our life. He says, if you follow me, I'll take care of you. Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got to put yourself in Psalms 23. God told me one time, he said, you can't preach tithing to the church. He said it was under the law. I said, no, it was before the law. I said, you don't even know what you're saying. I said, it wasn't under the laws, the Levitical law that you're talking about. I said, but you're 13 years too late, fella. I said, I didn't start tithing under the law. I didn't know nothing about law. Those people begin to mess me up. I said, I didn't need to know all that. All I needed to know was from Matthew on down. Just give me all of that right there and give me Jesus. I told him, I said, you're 13 years too late to try to teach me that. I said, because I've been out of my willingness and want to and service to God tithing for 13 years. I said, and I am a blessed man and you are not talking me out of it. What happened? The pressure of walking with God in that had come to me. Sometimes your pressures of walking with God will come through people. Sometimes pressures will come through people. Sometimes it'll come through finances. All it's trying to do is get you not to believe God, is get you not to trust God, is get you to turn to your own strength and your own figuring it out and all of that and not trusting in God. That pressure is coming to steal the Word from your heart. Because the Word of God is all the evidence that we need to know that we have victory. I don't care if it's in your marriage. If I love my wife as Christ so loved the church, I will have victory. If my wife will submit to me as unto the Lord, I'm not talking about me being man and I got to say it. No, you respect me like you respect the Lord. You respect me like you would the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, then that ensures her victory. Because if they will honor their father and mother, this is the first command to them with promise. That's why we as parents teach our kids to honor their parents. We teach our grandkids, we teach them to honor their parents. Because why? That ensures to us that they have victory, and that ensures that they will have victory. Why? Because the Word of God is all the evidence I need to know. Now, when the pressure is on, you know, through my grandkids, you know, coming to try to get us to do things against what the parents want to do, then we deny ourselves. Right? We stay in line with the parents. We don't let them manipulate us. Although they're cute, all that. Why? Because the pressure has come for us to help them get off course, and not ensure that they will. Travis was somewhere. We did a job the other day, and this police officer, he had retired 29 years, and I was talking to him. He'd done retired, you know. And I said, I got saved when I was 27. He said, well, that helps. I thought, no, you probably ain't a Christian. That's okay. No, that's the life. I told him, I said, you was a pig before then. I looked at you as a pig. You know, you tear my truck apart because you're hunting the drugs. You think you're going to find I'm smarter than that. Don't put it in there because I know y'all going to pull me over when I go to town. I said, they knew I had drugs. I said, but you was a pig. I said, you was all up in my business. To me. I said, but you were doing your job. I said, so today, I said, I want to tell you thank you for your 29 years of service for the citizens, for people. You're protecting them. So I want to thank you for your 29 years of service. You know, I wanted to tell him to God, because all authority comes from God. You know, he sets the police in authority. Everything, you know, now man comes in, and that's where we keep our faith. Yeah, but most of them's corrupt. Yeah, but we got angels, right? I mean, I get pulled over, I'm like, yes, sir, what's up? Hallelujah, you know. I ain't going to knock him in the head and run over him and shoot him, you know, because I know what the Scripture says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? See, we get these things in our heart, then the pressures of this world comes our way, and then we stand strong under pressure. I remember when my mom passed away, and I felt all out of place. My dad had been gone a long time, 35 years or longer. And but anyways, now I didn't get to honor my dad because I wasn't saved. And but after I got saved, I told the Lord, it says honor your mother and father in there in the Bible. I read that for myself, you know, and I thought, I'll tell you what, God, I didn't honor my daddy. You know, I borrowed $5, tell him I'll pay you back, I never paid him back. That's dishonor. I said, that's dishonor. You borrow money from somebody, you pay it back, right? That's honorable. That's God, you know. And so I repented of all of that and told the Lord, I'm sorry, I never did nothing but I told my daddy I'd do. I lied to him all the time to get his truck and stuff, you know, and all that. Well, I made up my mind, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to honor my mom. You know, and I set out to do everything that I could do, and I would have family meetings because there's a lot of us. Mom didn't have no money, and I would have family meetings, and I'd tell them, look, we can pitch in this much all every month, and Mom will have plenty. Well, I had some did, some didn't, you know, some wouldn't do nothing and all that and everything, and it's tried to get me angry because I'm like, it's all of y'all's mother, you know. And the pressure of that was trying to get me mad at some of my family members, you see. And so I heard a sermon. How many knows God will get you what you need? I heard a sermon, you know, don't get bitter when people don't help you. Just be thankful about all the help you are getting. And so I used that. I thought, man, that's God. That's got to be God. And you know what? So I did it. I started thanking the Lord for all the help that I was getting with my mother and all the anger and stuff that was trying to get me to be resentful and angry and walk in the old man, walk in the flesh left me. And so I walked out honoring my mother all of them years, and God made sure that I had plenty of help. It didn't come the way that I wanted. But what I'm saying, see, I was fixing to yield the wrong way to the pressure, then God couldn't move. But when we yield God's way to the pressure, then we're letting God move into our situation. We're letting God have it. Somebody came to me one time and wanted me to pray. They'd went through divorce and different things, you know. And I would want to kill somebody. But that person come up wanting me to pray for the other person. You know, they was going through hardship, whatever they was going through, and it shocked me. I'm like, I'm shocked. And then I thought, but that's what kind of person this is. This person loves Jesus. This person don't hold grudges. This person, you see it in their actions that they love God, and they're not bound by what's been done to them. They're not bound. They're free. I call it myself, you know, I'm a free man. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free. So you're free from anger. You're free from committing adultery, guys. You're free from lusting after women, guys. Or men lusting after women. Women lusting after men. And all kind of stuff. There's all kind of stuff now. Unreal. But the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free, right? We're free from jealousy, men and women. We're free. You know, Teresa one time, you know, she said, don't you care? because I got free, you know. Well, I'm not jealous anymore. I'm not, you know, I've worked on it, and I've exercised my faith, and I've exercised, you know, patience, endurance, self-control. How many knows these are attributes of God that we're not looking to get? We have them on the inside of us. The God of patience is on the inside of us. God of endurance. Endurance really, it means, I wrote that down. I know I done preached this 4, 5, 6 times, but patience, endurance, patience is endurance. It is the ability to accept or tolerate delay. I used to hate delay. I'm telling you, I mean, it would mess my whole day up, my whole week, my whole, somebody to lay doors, and I've got them on schedule and got it lined up and delay it something. Or go to the job and it's not cased out and under the pressure of you're already behind and you ain't really got time for this. And I had to work on it because I would first, you know, I would come unglued on them. They'd be like, well, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, not blah, blah. You know, man, I got blah, 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 blah. And you're going to have to get over here and blah, blah, blah yourself. I told one time, I said, you can blah, blah, blah. I said, but I'm leaving here and I'm going to do my next job and it better be done when I get back. And so I left, did that job, went back and it was done. Dude left, man. He didn't want to see me. That's not godly. No, God was wanting me. Now I'll just dump your doors out and leave. I'll get back when I can. When you get done, see you later, man. All's cool. Peace. I'm headed home, man. Yes. What happened? You develop. You begin developing endurance. It is the ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without getting in a bad attitude. That's the main thing. You know, when things don't go, I mean, yesterday, everywhere, Teresa, she's chauffeuring me around yesterday, you know. She's riding me around uptown, and I'm hunting boats and all kind of stuff. And I mean, we everywhere she goes, I mean, they nearly run over her. This dude's coming across the parking lot just looking at her like this, and we're coming down the road. He's coming across the parking lot, and I mean, he's looking. I'm looking at his eyes, and I'm like, is he going to stop? And he just comes out, and he's looking at the truck, and it's right here. And Teresa, are you serious? You see that? I was like, how could I miss it? Bob! He just... I mean, Johnny, I mean, she's like, I'm like, good Lord, I need to buckle up with them to ride with her, you know. And then somebody pulls, they're backing out, and I think they see her coming, and they pull back up. And then I told her, I think they're letting you by. Well, when she starts by, they start backing out. And she goes, did you see that? I'm like, well, I'm in here. Then going down the road, and she said, hey, now used to, I would get out and jump across the back of the truck and bust your windshield out for that garbage back yonder. That old man's dead. But how many knows you can still walk in that old man? Jesus said, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put him on. Put on Jesus. You know? And so we're going down the road and she said, just let me ask you something. I said, okay. She said, is it me or am I crazy or, I mean, was this my fault? You know, and I said, no. I said, I can't believe it happening to you like that. You know, I mean, I just can't believe it's happening to you like that. I seen the whole thing myself. You did nothing but drive. But how many knows you can be a road rager if you let people get on your nerves with that? I told Teresa, I said, you know what? There's people that... Now, the way the world is, that there's people now that if somebody does them like that, they just crunch them. And, you know, get me a Bahama trip. You better have some good insurance. You pulled out in front of me. I've even thought about it as a Christian, somebody riding my bumper trying to make me mad. I had to work on that, you know. Let them crunch my bumper up. I've been wanting a new vehicle anyways. Because if they hit me from behind, guess whose fault it is? Theirs. Woo. Devil tells people that. So watch them. They'll slam on the brakes in front of you. They're wanting a Bahama trip. They will not fix the car. They're going to buy them a Toyota, you know, at your expense, your car insurance. But see, if we got self-control, we don't lash out and yield to that stuff. That's the attributes of God. Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. It says you have need of patience after, somebody say after, that you've stayed in control. After that you got mad, after that you love your wife as Christ so loved you, after you don't get upset with your parents, you have need of endurance, after that you've done the will of God, that you might receive God's promises. The promise. The promise of what? Whatever you've not cast your confidence away. I told the Lord, God's given me everything I believed Him for. You might not believe that. I'm telling you right now, the things that I heard from God that were God's will and God was okay with, and I knew it was God, I laid hold of it. I believed Him for it. I believed Him to bring it into my life, and I would not turn loose of that faith in Him. Teresa, I considered whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe that I receive it. I got that from Mark 11. Believe that I receive it and you shall have it. And I told Him about 2 or 3 months ago, I said, God, there's only one thing that I really haven't got that I believe I want. I said, it's a mini X. And I thought, yeah, I hadn't had a mini X. I've been wanting one for a couple of years. I thought, well, you know, man, I might as well just believe God. Why not believe God for a mini X? I dig water lines, you know, I pick up stuff. And so I said, I'm not willing to spend no money. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm done with this, which was a dozer I believed in. But don't tell me God won't give you a dozer if you need one. Is it, if you can believe Him for a dozer, He's got a bunch of them on this planet. If you can believe Him for your bills met more than enough, He's got plenty of money on this planet. The Bible says, the gold and silver is mine, says the Lord. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, says the Lord. So if you want your house paid off, He can pay it off. Bring you an offering. Show God, like the woman over there in, where was she at? Zarephath. She's over there. They're cooking each other's kids. This stuff's in the Bible. The Bible's not just a dictionary. The Reader's Digest or something that we can read. Woo, look at God back there. I know churches, and I won't call out names. They read these stories in James and all of that like they're just stories to the church. Never demonstrating these are wrote to us that whatsoever things we desire, believe we receive it and we'll have it. They act like that was just for Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And they're the only ones. Well, you know what? There's a lack of believing in those churches and a lack of demonstration of the Holy Spirit, a lack of power, a lack of healing, a lack of needs met. The only needs that are met is the as much as I can go work and get my needs met. See, that's not what God wants. God wants us to live. He told Matthew, He told them, they're fishermen down there. He told them, he said, look, He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He said, you know, take up your cross and follow Me. In other words, He's saying, get rid of your fishing boats. Give it up. Give it up and follow Me. And I'll make you fishers of men. And then He demonstrated how He could do it. He goes out and He said, hey, come in. And Peter and them, they're washing the nets. And he says, lunch out into the deep. Let's go out a little bit. He said, Lord, we've toiled all night. I read that one time and I thought, I'm done toiling. I'm done struggling with fear and doubt and unbelief that my God can't do a miracle in my life. He did it in their life. He said, Lord, we've toiled, we've worked all night long. See, they're over there in the Red Sea. They're over there in it, and they have to fish at night because it's so clear. The fish sees the nets and they just leave, you know. And at night they can't see the net. He said, but nevertheless, it's your word. See, that's what me and you got to say. My body says I'm getting old in this, but nevertheless, you said that you give me long, satisfied lives. I tell the Lord all the time, thank you, Lord. You've already given me long, satisfied life. Well, your finances. I used to say it. So off to work I go. And so I think I got that from somebody's bumper sticker. And so I'm saying it myself. And the Lord quickened me one time. He said, don't say that. He said, Romans 8 over says, oh, no man, nothing but to love him. He said, that's what you say. Say, I owe no man nothing but to love him. And I talked my way into that. I don't owe no man nothing today, and I love every one of you. This word worked, but you know what? The pressure was on. You won't never have. You're just a Weston. You know how you was born. You're born poor. You're just poor. Poor, no more. Now, I got a hold of the principles of God's Word. I'm called a prosperity preacher. Call me what you want to. I am a 58-year-old victorious man that didn't have nothing at 27 but a bunch of broken dreams. And then I got a hold of Jesus, and now I own my home, and we own properties and all of that. All of the broken dreams that I could not make happen up to 27 years old, Jesus has made happen for me and my family over a period of walking in the Word of God and standing when the pressure was on not to believe God and stand and say, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God in my marriage. I'm going to believe God. I mean, I used to think, I told God, I said, God, we were lost when we got married. Lord, maybe she's the devil's daughter and I just happened to hook up with her and maybe I need to get a divorce. You know, maybe I can find the one that I'm supposed to be with that's a Christian, you know, or whatever. What was happening? Satan was trying to deceive me. He was trying to deceive me. Now, I've been married 39 years. You don't think it worked, did you? No, 39 years. Looking forward to 39 more. She's getting better and better and better. We're both growing together, praise God. You know, I mean, the things that used to were, why? Because I decided that I was going to love my wife as Christ so loved the church. My wife prays and asks, what clothes do I need? She asked the Lord, what did you need to wear? She looks on the inside. You know, she won't let me come to church wrinkled. She irons all of my clothes. She lays my clothes out on the bed. She washes my back when I get a shower. She comes in there a little too quick sometimes. Give me soap. And I'm like, wait, I got to get my hair wet and get the shampoo on. There's this process here. I hadn't gotten my ears wet in there yet, man. I got to get them wet where to get the grease out with the shampoo. Dry don't work. Well, if I do that, then it washes the soap off when I get my hair wet on my back. So there's a process. See, she has to deal with that, praise God. I get in the shower and I'm like, I'll tell the Lord now, say, Lord, keep her in there just another minute or two, please. Just another minute. Because I don't know when she's coming. All I know is the shower curtain goes, whoosh! Head around there. Get over here. Praise the Lord. I have a blast, man. Well, I mean, we're too blessed to be stressed. When my mom died, the Lord, I felt all lonely and all of that, you know, and I thought, Lord, I'm just grieving. That's all it is, I'm just grieving. He said, well, get over it. He said, get over it. He said, remember all of the things that I've allowed you to have with your mom, the relationship with your mom, you honoring your mom, you loving your mom. He said, those are the memories. He said, now, he said, take your time and redirect it. He said, redirect the time that you were on hold for your mama towards the kingdom, towards me. He said, redirect that so that you won't go into oppression over it. People go into oppression. And then I started noticing people, they'll be like, they're sad at Christmas because Daddy's gone. They're sad. I mean, and they're sad on their holidays and birthdays and all of that stuff. And just, I'm not talking about 1 year later. I'm talking about 20 years later. That's too long to grieve. That's too long. That's the enemy's involved in that. He's involved in that. And that pressure is causing that person. And that's what Satan is doing. He is after your faith. He's after your confidence. He's after your future. He's after your ministry. Some of y'all's got ministry and you're like, well, I just don't got time for ministry. You can't reason all of this stuff out. You got to yield yourself to God, give yourself to God and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you'll work it out, God, but here I am and I'm willing. I'm willing to go, God, because you make a way where there is no way. And God will begin to direct you. I went one time and I preached an elderly church. I mean, they were all old people, man. They were. I'm in my 30s, you know, and they're in their 80s and 90s. So everybody in there, I'm like, ah, oh, man, you know, there ain't no kids in here. It's all, but the church was packed. And man, I preached on Caleb, 80 years old, you know, and I've told you the story. I preached to him about Caleb being 80 years old and told God, God, give me that you told me I could have. Give me that mountain, God. I said, he's 80, and he wants the mountain God gave him. A mountain. I mean, you would think 80, you'd want the flat land. Give me something I don't got to climb no rocks and no trees. I don't have to cut all this and build me nothing on. Give me some flat land. You know, well, I preached that, and those people were so stirred up. Why I'm telling you that is, see, I didn't go in looking at how old they were. I went in looking at how big God is. And God's going to stir these people. God's going to give them vision past 80, past 90, past... We're promised 120 years in the Bible. 120. They lived to 80, 900. I mean, they started dying when Satan came in the garden. Things begin to decrease. But see, they were in fellowship with God. That's why we got a fellowship with God or things decrease in our life. Fellowship with God, standing on His Word, standing on His promises, standing on His faithfulness, and see these things happen, praise God. You're going to see this church literally full of people. I'm just telling you right now. Mac told me here a while back, he said, I like church little. I said, well, you better not get used to it. I said, you better gear up. I said, because God, he's using the ones right now to help you get used to people. I said, because before you know it, they're going to be sucking all of your air around you. You get 100 people in here. We're going to need another air conditioner. We're going to need 3 more air conditioners, man. We don't even need a heater. All the body heat. It'll heat it up in here real fast, praise God. But see, God don't want you weak concerning pressures. He wants you strong under pressure. And I've had people say, well, I just can't help it. I can't. Yes, you can help it. That's a lie. The enemy is feeding God's people. You can't help how you feel. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:14, it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him. But if you cast in your confidence away all the time, what's the use? Guy told me here a while back, he said, I'm already 65, 63. I said, you're only 63. I said, the way you're looking at it, you're washed up. I'm already 63. I said, I'm never going to look at it. I'm going to look at it backwards from that. When I get 63, I'm going to say, I'm only 63. I'm only 80. I'm only 85. I'm only 89. Come on, somebody. But people out there, I'm out in the general population and Christians feel washed up at 58. I feel like I'm a baby right now, man. I'm 58. I'm not quite, but almost 58. And I'm like, 58 feels pretty good. It just feels pretty good. Why? Because I'm in faith. I feel the same as I did when I was 37. I don't feel no different on the inside. I know my body's changing. I know the outward man perishes. But the inward man, the Bible says, is renewed day by day. So the inward man has a lot to do with the outward man. The way you feel on the inside has a lot to do with the way you're going to be on the outside. You're going to feel, somebody told me, I can retire right now. I've been doing garage doors 30 years. And that guy telling that police officer, I said, well, he said, 30 years. He said, you're going to retire? I said, well, you know, man, I said, I still like it. I said, besides, I said, I don't want to leave my guys, you know. I mean, I'm there. I'm helping. I'm the only reason they're fast as they are. They can think it's them, but when I'm out, when I'm gone, that takes them a lot longer. And I'm like, where y'all at, man? Where are y'all at? And I'm letting them know, y'all need me. But I told him, I said, well, you know, man, I said, what would I do? I said, sit around the house? I mean, Teresa would have a bucket list 3 miles long. I'd work more at home than I do at work. She told me the other day, 7 years, something about a lot, 7 years. I said, well, you made it. We've been here 15. You did good. You did good. She's a patient woman. If it's been 7 years, boy, she's got some endurance, right? Hallelujah. She's got some endurance, praise God. But I want to encourage you, you know, don't fold every time under pressure. If you see yourself folding in a pattern, you need to change that. You need to say, glory to God, I'm coming up, God. I'm going to come up. Jesus told them that the boy had a deaf and dumb spirit from the time he was born. Disciples couldn't cast him out, took him to Jesus, and Jesus cast him out, cast it out, set the boy free. And then they asked Jesus, said, why could this not cast this out? He said, this kind comes but by prayer and fasting. And it wasn't the big, bad, dumb spirit. You know, Jesus would have prayed up, man. You go look at his life. He went away from everybody and prayed. Teresa was talking about praying. And the more that you are in tune with God, the more you'll know what you need to pray about, what you need to ask for, and then what you need to decree. I found out that I found out that Satan was riding in my truck one day. He's tempting me something. I don't remember what it was. And so I thought, well, you know what? I got the power to cast out devils, bless God. So I'm going down the road about 50 miles an hour, and he's injecting thoughts, you know, defeat, whatever it was. I just slid off the road and slid down the side of the road. And people jerked over another lane, and they're, what's wrong with him? I get out, and I run around my truck, and I open the passenger side door. And I said, Satan, get out! I said, get out! Well, the Bible said, resist him? He has to flee, don't he? That's what it says. I said, get out! Get out of my truck, get out, and don't ever get back in it again. And I slammed the door, I went around, got in, and I rode the rest of the day in peace. See, you might not realize that Satan has assigned demonic spirits to you at different times to come and tempt you and get you, and thoughts come to you to get you in your emotions and in your feelings and all of that stuff so that you're not standing on God's word, so that you don't move forward, hallelujah. But he does. You know, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't yield to pressure. Don't yield the wrong way to pressure. Once you yield the right way, victory's there. Victory's there every time. Let's bow our heads.